present a letter from God's Word, it's always an honor to me to be able to be asked by anyone to come and to preach. One of the greatest blessings in all of our lives that we can do is to be a part of the gospel, to be a part of spreading the gospel where we may go. The theme that I was asked to speak on is one that's, and sometimes, if I can be honest with you, I feel like I'm not qualified to speak on this type of thing. How do we get home Bible studies? What can we do in order to continue spreading the gospel? What are some services, some projects that we have done that have brought about Bible studies? I want to answer those questions in two different ways, and tonight we'll look at one area of some things that we have done in Luxahoma, some things that we've observed at other congregations that we have visited before. By the way, I should have prefaced all of this by saying that my only regret tonight is the fact that my beautiful wife and my beautiful daughter are not able to be with us. They both wanted to, well, I don't know about my daughter, she just turned one yesterday, but I do know that we wanted both of them to be here tonight, but they're not feeling well, fevers and such, but they do send their love, so they may be able to be here in the morning. But as we're talking now about service projects, or projects that we've done, services that we've done to bring about home Bible studies, we need to begin by looking at a great need. There's a great need in this world. There's a great need in this country. We can boil it down to say there's a great need in this community. Tate County, Crockett, Luxahoma, Senatoga, wherever we may find ourselves, even if we wanted to venture out and go down to the Coldwater or Thyatira or other areas around. But there's a great need in these communities. It's a great need in it. So we think about all that's going on in this country. We think about everything that's happening right now, the turmoil that we see inside this country. As we turn on the television, we see the news, we talk about whose lives matter the most. Is it this life or that life? Or not even considering the fact that all souls matter as we look at the gospel and understand the things that Jesus has taught us. We look at the things that are taking place in this country and we see that there is a great need. Now, as we think about that as the Lord's church, what is the greatest need of the Lord's church? Well, some would answer that by saying the greatest needs of this congregation, if I'm allowed to say these things, the greatest need of this congregation is to build a gymnasium, a place where we can house the young people and attract the young people and tell them to come in. Because after all, if we get the young people, then we'll get the older people also. Some say that one of the greatest needs of the local congregation is to try to be like the rest of the world. To try to be entertaining, to give up doctrine for entertainment. Let's begin to do certain things, maybe add in contemporary type of service, if you will. A service of the things of which we can't find authority for in the Bible. They say, let's cater to the world. Let's be more pleasing to the world. I remember in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the nation of Israel wanted a king like the rest of the world, and we see where it got then. Well, what is the greatest need in the Lord's church today? Some say that it's music. Some say that we need to get over the traditions, not paying attention to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, Colossians 3 and verse 16, that tell us that we're to sing. We need to break down these barriers, and we need to begin appealing to the world. I would say today that there is a great need in this country and in these communities that we serve. And that need is the same need that's been, that has been around since the very establishment of the Lord's Church, since the first century. Come tomorrow and we will talk in depth about this great need, but this evening we're going to notice that the greatest need for the Lord's Church, the greatest need of every congregation, every community is the preaching of the gospel. If you have your Bibles and you want to go ahead and begin to open your Bibles, I invite you to Romans chapter 10 tonight. Romans chapter 10, we are going to look at the first 17 verses. We're going to see for sure, and hopefully we'll all know by the time we leave this evening, that there is a great need for gospel preaching. The church was established by preaching. It grew by preaching. It was strengthened by preaching. And even in this present world that we live in, August 28, 2016, it depends on gospel preaching. If we do certain things that we talked about just a moment ago, or maybe think about if we start to begin programs that will go out and evangelize to the children, if we go out and we start programs to feed the need, if we go out and we begin programs to help those that are in need financially, whatever the case may be, if we do all of these programs, and yet we fail to preach the gospel, what good have we done? We've done a huge disservice. And if we are doing anything in the Lord's church and we're lacking preaching the gospel, we need to rethink what we're doing, and we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to a thus saith the Lord. We need to get back to a ready answer, 1 Peter 3:15. We need to get back to book, chapter, and verse preaching. The Apostle Paul is going to now point out to us, and we'll look at this in three different areas and three points this evening. The Apostle Paul is now writing to the church of Rome, and he's writing to all of those that be in Rome, as it says in Romans 1:17. He's going to explain perfectly for us the need for gospel preaching. He'll prove this in three different points. The first point will be the purpose for preaching, verses 1 through 4. Verses 5 through 13, he will show us the power of preaching. And then verses 14 through 17, we will notice the plan for preaching. The purpose, the power, and the plan of preaching. Let's begin tonight by reading the first four verses of Romans chapter 10. Hope you have your Bibles with you. Follow along with me. Notice the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Rome, says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Notice with me, if you will, that there is a purpose for our preaching. There is a purpose. What do we mean by there is a purpose? Well, many don't understand the purpose of preaching. Many today say, well, it's okay if we don't go back to a Sunday afternoon service or a Sunday evening service. It's okay if we skip preaching, if you will. It's okay if we neglect to hear the preaching of God's words. Some see it as being boring. They see our preaching as something that's boring, something that's just another act of worship. Some do not care if the gospel is preached or not. And I'm talking about brethren within the Lord's church. There are some in the congregations that don't care if we preach a sermon or not. Matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that there may be some that if they were to come into the services on Sunday morning and say, instead of the climax of worship, we're only going to do the four and we're going to go home early, some may begin to rejoice. If you've ever heard me preaching, you might be doing the same. If we were to announce, Brother Thornton, it's not going to preach in the morning. Yeah, you may rejoice at it tonight. There are some in the Lord's church that see preaching as pointless. But as the Apostle Paul is writing, he's saying that there is a purpose for our preaching. There is a purpose in the things we do. We need gospel preaching, not just because it's an act of worship, it's something that we're being commanded to do. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 tells us to preach the word. It's not something that we do because it's our tradition. We see what happens with tradition. Matthew 15:9. Jesus says they're vain. It's vain worship. We're not doing these things because it's tradition, but we're doing these things because there is a purpose in preaching. There is a purpose in preaching the gospel. Romans chapter 10, Paul is discussing this great need by pointing out in verse 1. Notice, if you will, again, he says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Brethren, when we preach the gospel, why are we preaching the gospel? Are we getting up here just because we want to say something? We're getting up here because we have something to say. The greatest thing that takes place in any community on the first day or any day of the week is on the first day of the week when the gospel is being preached. When we are able to hear about the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. When we're able to hear about the high priest that we have sitting at the right hand of God. We hear about the one who's established the church, purchased it with his own blood. He's now given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the written word. We're able to learn from these things, to look to these things as a guide in our life. The greatest thing that happens is when we can talk about Jesus Christ who has died for our sins. It's the greatest thing that takes place around the world any day of the week. But Paul is beginning to make his statement talking about the purpose of preaching, saying that it is his desire. In fact, he would say that he prays to God that Israel, the Jewish people, would be saved, that they might be saved. We're going to notice how this is going to take place as we go along the lesson tonight. But he understands the need for the Israelites. He understands their need, that they need to hear the word being preached in order that they might obey. When the Keith Mosier at the Memphis School of Preaching would tell us sometimes, tell me something you've never heard. Can you tell me something that you've never heard? Think of something just out of your mind, just a new thought on your own. Tell me something that you've never heard. You see, everything that we know about the Bible, everything that we've ever I can't even make a statement without referring to it. Everything that we know about the Bible, someone has taken the time to teach us. All of us in here, I would go so far as to say that everyone in here that has obeyed the gospel because someone took the time to sit down at a kitchen table with you, or sit down in a classroom with you, or maybe in a situation like this in preaching the gospel. But one way or another, someone taught you and grabbed the word which is able to keep your soul. The word that's able, the word that's quick and powerful, Hebrews 4 and verse 12 would tell us. Paul understood this need. He's saying the purpose for his preaching is that Israel would be saved. Why is he saying these things? Well, he says that the purpose for preaching is because they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. It's not according to knowledge, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, and they're trying to establish their own righteousness. In doing so, they would not submit to God. The purpose of preaching of the gospel was that these might believe, or these that believed would and could obey God in the way that they had known. They thought that this way was best. See, Paul is writing to these Jewish people. They thought that the gospel was a stumbling block. They thought that Jesus was a stumbling block. They didn't want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They thought that they could hang on to the old law. They thought that the law of Moses was that was given to them for their righteousness. But he's saying they have this zeal for God. They want to please God. They want to hang on to this law. But it's not according to knowledge. We have the knowledge now of Jesus Christ, one who is now that come to die for your sins. The Messiah that they talk about in the Old Testament, he's come. He's fulfilled the prophecies. He died for your sins. Listen to what's being said. Listen to our preaching. We're preaching these words because they're the powerful words that are going to save your soul if you'll just believe. The truth that they needed to know was that Christ was the end or the aim of the law. They're given the stumbling block. As 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23 says, that Christ was the end of the law that the Jews were so zealous for. The end of the law which Christ had fulfilled, nailing it to his cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14. And there's now a new covenant in place that was shed at that cross. It came from the body of Jesus Christ, as it talks about in Matthew 26 and verse 28, when he says, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But the Jews would not believe. They would not believe Jesus, they would not believe Paul. Sometimes people will not believe us. We're going out into a community and into a world sometimes, brethren, they don't want to hear what we have to say. I wish I could count in my time of going with the Memphis School of Preaching and other times. I wish I could count the number of doors that have been slammed in the face. Because I knock on the door we'll talk about this more tomorrow, we knock on their door. I want to share some good news with you. Where are you from? Well, I'm from such and such Church of Christ. They slam the door. They don't want to hear what we have to say. Why? Because they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. The Jews had a zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. They didn't want someone to come in and sit down and study God's word with them and tell them everything that they needed to hear in order that they might be saved. But Paul is trying to convey to the Jews their greatest need, and that is to obey the gospel. We have this greatest need in our congregation of preaching the gospel. And let us never forget the purpose of our preaching. We need to preach because we have a desire for those around us. Do we go to our family reunions that we may have from time to time, our family gatherings? We see those that are not members of the body of Christ, those that may be members of the body of Christ, but they're married. Do we take pride in the fact that we're saved and they're not? Or does it rip our heart out that we see our family is lost in sin? Do we see those in our communities, our neighbors, our loved ones, our friends? Do we see them as being lost souls? Do we understand that they need to hear gospel preaching in order that they might be saved? We need to preach because there are also those in the denominational world that have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge, being ignorant of the righteousness of God. We need to preach of thus that the Lord preached the whole counsel of God so that we can fulfill the purpose of preaching and teach them of thus that the Lord.